What are they now?
You got records.
Too late, help.
When you don't know what to do, call your sponsor.
Okay, we're being recorded now. All right, it's really good to be here. We put a lot of work into this, and I'm real happy that everybody made it. And just hang on, it's going to be really good. This weekend, we're together to celebrate Narcotics Anonymous, its history, and the people that devoted their lives to helping the addict that still suffers. I had to write this because my memory is not that good, okay? All right. For many years, there have been people who worked with all their might to help us addicts recover from the disease of addiction. Today, because of the pioneers of recovery, there is a program that helps us to help each other. This didn't start last week, and it didn't happen with a Big Bang Theory. There were many recovery programs that failed due to the lack of knowledge and because of trial and error. We acknowledge them and are grateful, very grateful, for their contributions. Today, because of the perseverance of those that came before us, our Our fellowship is alive and strong. We celebrate 38 years of recovery the entry way with 12 steps, 12 traditions, and a loving higher power. If you stay with us this weekend, you'll learn about NA, how we started, how we remained here. Tonight, I'd like to share a little about some groups and individuals who stand out in their work and efforts to help the addict who still suffers. The first group that we find a record of is Addicts Anonymous. This group was founded in 1947, and it was patterned after Alcoholics Anonymous. Here's a little history of that fellowship. Now, if this is a little off, we had to go with what articles we could find published in different magazines throughout our history. We had to go with what we could find, okay? In 1944, a person by the name of Houston Smith of Montgomery, Alabama. All right. He hit bottom with his alcoholism. After finding AA and getting a little recovery, Houston S. started his 12-step work. This led him to work with a sales executive who was not only addicted to alcohol, but morphine as well. AA helped his friend with his drinking problem, but Houston watched his friend continue to struggle with a morphine addiction. During this time, Houston Smith was transferred by his employers to Frankfort, Kentucky, which is only a short distance from the U.S. Public Health Service Hospital at Lexington, which, by the way, was one of the very first treatment centers for addicts that the U.S. ever set up, and it was probably the largest at the time. After arriving in Kentucky, Houston Smith contacted Dr. Vogel. He was the medical officer in charge of the hospital at that time. He informed him of his friend, the morphine addict, and he shared his interest in forming a 12-step group for addicts. In 1947, on February the 16th, the first Addicts Anonymous group meeting was held. The article that this information was taken from was dated 1954, so we know that this group lasted at least 7 years. Addicts Anonymous sent out monthly newsletters called The Key. In reading the founding minutes of NA, we find that our purpose was taken from The Key. During the early years of Addicts Anonymous, a member from that Lexington fellowship called the Narco Group moved to New York City. There, along with the help of Sergeant Major Dorothy Berry, they started a group called Narcotics Anonymous. His name was Daniel Carlson. We find in one article that NA in New York was started in 48 and died out due to lack of funding and support. In an article called The War Cry, a Salvation Army newsletter, we find, and I quote, when a few days ago Narcotics Anonymous held its second anniversary meeting in New York City, and this was dated 1952, this fellowship had no traditions, but they helped many addicts to recover. In 1956, Daniel Carlson died of cancer. We are told that after his death, the decline of the fellowship began in New York. I'd like to share my findings on Sergeant Major Dorothy Berry. She went on to become a Brigadier Dorothy Berry, before passing away. And I hope none of you feel this is an outside issue. If it is, well, you have my apology. I did a lot of research on this and talked to a lot of people, and it's real, real special. Dorothy Berry paid the first month's rent on an old storehouse for Narcotics Anonymous to meet in. She worked the better part of her life trying to help addicts like you and me find a new way to live. She worked with women coming out of prison, trying to help them stay clean. She also was one of the first people that tried to get addicts in the hospital so they could detox and so they could find a new way to live. I talked with the people at the Salvation Army about her, and I was moved very deeply by their words of her. Now back to N.A. Bosel located the literature from the early 60s that came from a fellowship in Cleveland, Ohio, that was connected to the New York N.A. And I'd like to read some of this. It starts off, membership of our groups consists entirely of former addicts whose self-administration of addicting drugs has brought us to disaster. We all know that, don't we? We learn from experience after withdrawal that any further indulgence constitutes a totally undesirable, hopeless way of life. I like that. We come to believe that we have been trying to substitute our addiction fantasy for real achievements in life, and that our effort has been hopeless and absurd. First and most essential step is honesty, personal and intellectual. We must realize that we are in the grip of a progressive emotional and physical illness, which, unless under active treatment, such as is afforded in the NA program, has undertaken, steadily grows worse, never better. The core of the technique which NA has worked is spiritual. And here are the 13 steps. And y'all will be surprised, 13 steps didn't say, the 13 didn't say anything about a newcomer. Number one, we admitted the use of narcotics made our life seem more tolerable, but the drug had become an undesirable power over my life. Excuse me, that said my, it didn't say we or our. There wasn't any we's in there. Number two, came to realize that to face life without drugs, I must develop an inner strength. Number three, made a decision to face the suffering of withdrawal. Number four, yeah, that was a big decision too, it was. Learn to accept my fears without drugs. Find someone who has progressed this farther and who is able to assist me. Admit to him the nature and depth of my addiction. Realize the seriousness of my shortcomings as I know them, and accept the responsibility of facing them. Number eight is admit before a group of NA members these same shortcomings and explain how I'm trying to overcome them. I'd like to see some of you guys do. You're right. Okay, list for my own understanding all the persons I've hurt. Take a daily inventory of my actions and admit to myself those which are contrary to good conscience. Realize that to maintain freedom from drugs, I must share with others the experiences from which I have benefited. Number 12, determine a purpose in life and try with all the spiritual and physical power within me to move towards its fulfillment. Number 13, God help me. That's needed. Okay. Where was that?
Oh, no.
You didn't write page 3. Here we go. As you can see, this fellowship of ours differs tremendously, but they did have the same reason for being, to help us recover. The fellowship of NA as we know it today began on August 17th, 1953. Throughout the weekend, I hope you will learn more about NA and its 38 years. Before our speaker comes up, I would like to have a moment of silent gratitude for all of those who came before us and all those whose hard work and long suffering helps us still today. Thank you very much. Now,
1 minute.
I've got to wait.